So our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and it's on page 693 of the Bibles in the pews, beginning to read at verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, You have sheltered that yoke that burdens them, and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is from John chapter 14. This can be found on page 1082 of your pew Bibles. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Help us to see good things in it tonight. And help us to respond to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, first, a thank you for your warm welcome. It's a privilege to come and contribute to your sermon series, God Working in Us. And particularly this evening's second line, God showing us the way. I'd like to bring proper greetings from Shibben, particularly Plaxdal as well, but Shibben in particular. There are very many fond memories of the pastoral care they received from you over many years, and still a great sense of belonging emanating from this parish and that over many generations. So greetings from them, and thank you for having me this evening. As we come to this evening's reading, the New Testament in particular, I'd like to open with a couple of remarks about the fourth gospel, the gospel according to St. John. First one is to say that John is very, very clear about his purpose for writing the way he does. It's a gospel that's different to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They have a generic likeness and some differences. John is very different, but he makes it very clear why he writes as he does. And I always find if I'm preaching on John, it's helpful to start with this verse, even if it's only in my preparation. It's a little couple of verses hiding just after the story of doubting Thomas, and it says this: Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these things are written so that, here we are, you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. What an amazing thing to find towards the end of a book that says so clearly why the book was written in such a way. I've written these things that you might believe, and believing have life in Jesus' name. Second introductory comment about John's gospel is that I like to introduce it to folk with reference to a kaleidoscope. I'm sure you've all looked through one of these. You get lots of light this way, and there are lots of jewels inside, and as you turn it, there are lots of different patterns. Well, I think John's gospel is a bit like that, and it has three patterns in particular. There are many ways of reading any different book. You can start at the back if you want. It doesn't always make sense. But there are many different ways of reading, looking at a book, and different patterns. John has three. You can read John's gospel as a series of miraculous signs. John doesn't use the word miracle on its own for that first miracle at Cana of Galilee or any of the others. They're miraculous signs. And that's quite important for our theme tonight. If we're thinking about God showing us the way, signs show the way. And one way of reading John's gospel is as a series of signs. But go to the kaleidoscope, just twist it slightly till you get a new pattern. You hear the jewels chink and fall into a different way. You can also read John's gospel as a series of long discourses. And if you like literature and literary terms for the many different things we find in the Bible, you could see his series of long discourses as a series of apologia. There's a technical term. An apologia is an old Greek term for a reasoned argument. And there is some sense in which John's gospel is different to the others because he's appealing to listeners that have got a lot of Greek philosophy on board. He starts with that lovely thing that we have at Christmas: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We all get familiar with that, so we miss the fact that it's a deeply philosophical argument for philosophical listeners. And again, this series of discourses, I think, is an appeal to people who like a long, reasoned argument. Back to the kaleidoscope. One more turn, another clink of the jewels, a different pattern. You can read John's gospel as a series of I am sayings. I am the way, the truth, and the life is the one that we had tonight, but it's one of a series of sayings. Some commentators like to say there are 7 miraculous signs, 7 long discourses, and 7 I am sayings. I haven't checked it, but there's something in the Bible about 7 being about completion and complete disclosure through 7 of these, 7 of those. If you read the book of Revelation, there's 7 of these, 7 of those, and 7 and the other. But these I am sayings are very assertive. They're very Hebraic in their style, and as a feature that is designed another way for Greek philosophers to listen in on, this is a change of mood. John's been quite forceful with these I am sayings. And in that sense, they're closely tied in with that original purpose that I read. Let's remind ourselves, these things I have written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that you may have, and that through believing you may have life in his name. I am sayings are clearly sayings about Jesus' own identity, so that we might have life. So, signs, arguments, and I am sayings. 3 different series, 3 different ways of reading John. And actually just those 3 are 3 different ways of God showing us the way. He shows us through the signs that Jesus did. And Jesus appeals in the reading, if you can't believe my words, just believe the signs, the miracles that I do. But God shows us the way through the discourses that John records from the mouth of Jesus. And God shows us the way through these I am sayings that are much more forceful, as we'll see next. So tonight's kaleidoscope, we're looking at the I am sayings in particular, this chapter from John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we come across any of the I am sayings, there's a bit of a double whammy hiding inside them, and it's to do with I am, because I am is God's own name. Can we have that on the slide now? I've got it here. It wasn't big enough, but they're going to put it up there for you. There's Hebrew. It's the only Hebrew I do. I've never done any Hebrew, just this little bit. Remember that they read from and write from right to left. So there's 4 letters here. And if we transcribe those into English letters, it's here. YHWH. And Hebrew doesn't have any vowels. It just has consonants. You sort of learn by rote or by intuition how to put the vowels in and so make the word. And that word, known as the tetragrammaton, because there's 4 letters, is God's own name. And when it's filled in with vowels, there are 2 versions. One is Yahweh, which you must have come across, and the other is Jehovah. There's 3 vowels in that one, but the Y and the J are interchangeable, like the old Yugoslavia. It's the same letter. Yahweh, Jehovah, that's God's name. In Exodus chapter 3, the adult Moses is being commissioned by God to lead Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Moses asks for a sign of God working in him, a sign for God to show him the way. And so he asks what God's name is. He wants to know more about God's identity. And our passage tonight is very similar, about the identity of Jesus. And God says to Moses, Yahweh, Jehovah, I am who I am. And yet it's not quite as simple as that. The tense in which it comes is a tense we don't have in our grammar. It's more like I am who I am and I will be who I will be. There's a sort of ongoing open-endedness to that name. So back to John, when John records in this series of I am sayings, when he records Jesus saying, I am, the whole phrase each time takes on an extra assertiveness about Jesus and his identity. Jesus is speaking boldly. He's being outspoken, even to the point of blasphemy, because his hearers, who John calls the Jews, Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, and all of those, they would have spotted the word at the beginning. So Jesus is actually saying, not just I am the way, the truth, and the life, but I am God, and I am the way, and the truth, and the life. It's very bold. It's very clear about his identity. It's much more than just a point and a sign. Jesus says, I am God, and I am the way. Jesus is more than just a sign. He's not saying, that's the way. He's saying, I am the way. The way is wrapped up in his personal identity and doubled up in strength because in the same phrase, he says, I am God and I am the way. Next, he says, I'm God and I am the truth. Now, truth is never short of a crisis. The last one, the philosophers called postmodernism. And it's when they stopped believing how they could show that something was true anymore. An old method that had stood them in good stead for many years called justified truth or something like that. I'm not much of a philosopher. But even Pontius Pilate, when he tries Jesus at one point, goes, oh, what is truth? He has his own crisis. Today, we talk about truth as being either objective or subjective, and how can we know the difference? Do we want scientific truth or literary truth or mathematical truth, historical truth? What on earth do we mean when we look for truth? I'm going to tell you a story about Plaxton now. We had a faculty in already when I started. It's for clearing a space at the back and having new carpets down and under the tower at the back a kitchen and toilets. And somebody from the Historical Churches Trust objected, as they love to do. I'm sure you know all about that here. And so the Chancellor had to come and it had to go to court where they get the scales of justice out. And they put in one side of the scales the harms, according to this woman from the Heritage Society. She said it will do untold harm to the Cromwellian aesthetics of your building. And in the other scale of that balance of justice, we said it will make our building comfortable and useful and nice to be in for the community and for mission. And the Chancellor, being a good Chancellor, weighed in the scales and found in our favour. And in the judgment, which is a public document, if you know how to go looking for it, and the press certainly do, it says that the truth that this woman spoke in objecting was a subjective truth. It was a personal truth. And then a few lines later, he said, it was a specious opinion. And I love telling that story. But back to truth. In every age and generation, people have worried how we actually know we've got the truth. Jesus doesn't go into a long spiel about that at this point. John doesn't enter into a long apologia on the truth. It's an I am saying. It's bold to the point of blasphemy again. Jesus says, I am the truth. His identity is God, is truth. They're wrapped up so tightly here. And I think that when we get to this one, the claim that Jesus makes, I am the truth, starts to become an exclusive truth. Unless you want so many truths, we don't know what truth means anymore. It pushes us to the way of exclusive. The next one. Jesus says, I am God and I am the life. Remember John's overall purpose? These things I have written that you may believe, and believing have life. So it's in tune with the whole of the gospel. Remember in other discourses too, the Good Shepherd discourse and the Good Shepherd I am saying, I am God and I am Good Shepherd and I have come that you might have life, to have it to the full. John is fully in tune with this idea of life. And the depths of the reading today are all about that closeness of Christ with the Father. That's what eternal life is. That's what we have. That's why salvation starts now. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. It's when we receive Jesus. And we know that intimacy of him with the Father in us, the Spirit in us, we in him. That's what eternal life's about. And we can have it now. Jesus says, I am God and I am the life. And I have come that you may have this life abundantly. Jesus is not just the sign. He doesn't merely point to life. He just doesn't go off on a reasoned argument about it. He claims to be life. Again, he's bold to the point of blasphemy, and his hearers could hear it. So tonight's I Am phrase about God showing us the way, God working in us, is very strong indeed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it rocks over into the land of exclusive. If one person says, I'm the truth, the way, the life, that's an exclusive claim. But, and I think there really is a but here, we need to try and receive this exclusive sounding claim within the wider context in which we receive it in the text. Because, and you might like this line, a text without its context is a pretext for a proof text. People that want to prove something and just throw a line of scripture out as if that deals with an argument often get into trouble. That's the proof text. A text without a context is a pretext for a proof text. The passage we read tonight is from the beginning of the end of John's Gospel. It's the beginning of a very, very long discourse, which is all about Jesus saying farewell. He's actually seeking to reassure his disciples in the face of his impending suffering, death, and departure. So if you go to the beginning of the passage, you find these words: do not be worried and upset. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Or as I had it in mind, believe in God. Believe also in me. Remember that purpose? I've written these things that you might believe, and in believing find life. I'm going to prepare a place for you. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and if it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said. Jesus is reassuring his disciples. You know, they were a ragtag and bobtail group of people, a really motley crew. They had different temperaments, they had different needs, they were clearly at different stages in their faith journey. And Jesus says, don't be worried and upset. Believe in me, there are many rooms in my Father's house. There's room for all. And I find that to be a very inclusive statement. And I could just repeat the last little paragraph about us here tonight. We are a pretty ragtag and bobtail group, I'm sure. We have different temperaments, different needs. We're likely to be at different stages in our faith journey. And Jesus says to us tonight, there are many rooms in my Father's house. That's an inclusive claim, an inclusive provision. So tonight's text is very much about showing us the way, but in doing that it sets up a tension between the inclusive and the exclusive. Jesus makes both those claims very close together in a short passage. And for me, that makes the tension between the inclusive and the exclusive inescapable. What does that mean for us today? Well, the choices we make individually and as a church actually bundle up to give a message about inclusion or exclusion. It might just be seats and cushions, or a new platform, or a ramp, or a different place to preach, or an old bird in the corner, the old-fashioned way. or new ways to read and old ways to read. Tiny little choices all bundle up into whether we're exclusive or inclusive. Some of the Christian claims sound very exclusive, and the challenge is to be able to present those in an inclusive way. And I think that's one of the toughest challenges in today's culture, if we're to be a world-facing, world-engaged faith. If God is showing us the way and pointing us to the door, as he does at the end of every single Eucharist, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Now you've had that grace, go and do it. Then that tension that is described in the I am saying that we've been looking at, strong and bold, but very, very challenging indeed. It's still the truth that Jesus shows us the way, that God works in us, but we need to work with that tension in particular as we live into God's future. Amen.